Assalamu alaikum, peace be upon you.
Welcome back to another episode of Miserable Moments.
We are finally back in school again.
We're back teaching and in our classrooms. It feels unreal, and I feel like summer went by so quick, but it's so nice to finally be back with our students. It's been a few good weeks.
It's been a couple of weeks, actually, but we wanted to actually start this welcome back episode to a new school year, to the new grind, to the hustle and bustle that is in New York City. But we're just so excited to officially be back in business and back in school and back in our classrooms. So we wanted to talk about our goals for this year and just kind of what's been going on, and just the routine of our lives, I guess. That's been our daily routine. So, Hafsa, do you want to start?
Yeah, so I'm officially a middle school ENL teacher, which feels so unreal to say, because I've always wanted to work in middle school, and I've always
Definitely not elementary.
And finally, working with middle school, I feel like I've gotten that. So it's been a great few weeks with my middle schoolers. I just need to learn Spanish ASAP.
But tell us what ENL is.
So I'm an ENL teacher, which is English as a new language for students who English is not their first language, and I teach them English. So we go over like basics and start like conversing back and forth. And honestly, I really do take it step by step, and I'm not expecting my students to write in English the first week. I do let them write in Spanish or whatever language they speak, and then I go out of my way to translate it for myself and grade them based on that, because it's not fair to give them zeros. And
so you basically guide them into the language of English, basically.
Yep, and we take baby steps.
I can't even imagine what it's like to be in a classroom that everybody speaks English and you are the foreigner in that class. Understand what they're saying.
It is hard.
Like, I can only imagine how uncomfortable that is for a student. And we just had a workshop a couple days ago about kids in my classroom who would not be able to speak English. And the teacher started by speaking her native language, and she did the whole entire PD in that language. And everybody, all the teachers looked at her like, what are you saying? She gave us a worksheet with that language and said we're going to follow up next week when we have a test. So it's basically, she just reenacted what it's like to be in our classroom where I'm speaking in English, I'm teaching my lesson, and I just let them know, by the way, next week we're going to be having a test. And the child is still looking at me very confused. So it put things in perspective, and it was just really cool to see that experience, just because I don't think we can ever be in these kids' shoes where we understand what it's like to be speaking that language. But then I did remember, for the 2 weeks that we were in Egypt when I was in like elementary school, and our parents thought that it was cute to send us back to Egypt and start school there, and we just lasted 2 weeks and then we were back in New York. But anyway, we actually did not understand, I mean, we did speak Arabic, but we didn't understand what was going on. We didn't understand the routines in the school, and the teachers thought we were being dumb on purpose. Like, imagine your teacher thinking that you're purposely trying to act dumb when you're really not. Because guess what? At the end of the day, yes, I am Egyptian, and it was an Arabic Egyptian school. But guess what? At the end of the day, if you really think about it, a little kindergartner, I can't even remember what grade I was in, but I was just a really young elementary school student. And next thing you know, I'm getting yelled at left and right because apparently I'm acting dumb when I'm really not understanding what they're talking about.
Yeah, and in the general ed's like classrooms for our teachers, the teachers aren't giving attention to those students because they're like, well, they're going to be pulled out by ENL teachers, so we're not going to do any work with them. They're just going to sit in our class, and that's exactly what happens. They didn't actually have an ENL teacher last year, so I'm following up with the students who were ENLs the past year and didn't learn anything. And, like, looking at their levels, they haven't even leveled up, which is kind of sad, because if they were working with someone, they should have been at a 4, maybe even a 5, because
that's insane.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I've had a student like that last year where I just tried my best. I mean, it's not in my degree type of thing, but they do offer teachers, like, an English language learners side in the textbook, where they tell you to kind of break it down to these particular students. But it's still not enough to be...
But it also goes back to you as a teacher, if you want to do that, if you're willing to give up time, if you're willing to work extra, walk the extra mile, actually,
yeah,
with that child. Because sometimes it's usually one or two kids. It's never the whole class.
And that's true. So that's why you end up neglecting them, because you're like, it's not worth it. I have 30 other students that do speak the language, and then the two other ones are going to take a lot of my time. And I did realize once I did give the one and two students the time, I ended up just giving them all my time and neglecting the other 34. So at the end of the day, like, you really have to balance, and you have to plan it out so well in order to be able to just work in the favor of both these types of students. But it's really interesting, and I think teachers have to go that above and beyond and go over that mile to be able to target these kids and their needs.
So what are your goals and your expectations for this year?
My goals specifically for this year are really simple, but I think they're really hard at the same time.
In what
so
way?
One of them is to just be chill and be relaxed and take it day by day. Last year, I think I was an anxious ball of just stress. Every single day, I'm already panicking about what's to come and what's next and whatever. And that was so triggering for me all year, from like October all the way to June, I believe. And then it was just like, I'm so happy that the school year is over. I don't want to look back type of thing. And I just, like, I wasn't able to enjoy my teaching experience as much as I wanted to. I was able to enjoy some aspects of it, but not as much as I wanted to, because I was just so stressed out. It's very new to me, and I was just like not comfortable and not confident enough in myself to be able to teach something like that and to be able to transition to fifth grade. So now that I have fifth graders again this year, I'm like, okay, I feel like I know what I'm doing, but at least, if anything, I just want to take it day by day and not be thinking about 3 weeks in advance and all the testing that's going to be happening or whatever it is that it's going to be happening. So to just be relaxed, take it day by day. I think taking it day by day is, I mean, everybody says it, but it's so hard to actually think like that and be positive. Mm-hmm. So my other thing is to also be positive. Look at the positives in everything. I mean, it sounds like kind of, I guess, I don't know. I don't know what the right terminology is. Yeah, but you have to be positive in order to be able to push through. If you're not positive, it automatically turns into this anxious ball of stress.
Yeah, but also, like, being positive in a positive environment.
Yeah.
Because, like, you can't be the only positive one, and then, like, everyone around you is, like, negative or complaining or in that aspect. So I think unless you're willing to be that positive person that's brightening everyone's day, then, girl, go for it.
Exactly. No, I truly believe that. But if anything, I really think that being positive and then also having a supportive environment around you where you're able to complain or not even complain, but like vent in a sense that hopefully that other person that is listening to you can help you change the current situation that you're in, or give you some supportive words. Like if you're thinking negatively and the other person you're talking to is also thinking negatively, you end up leaving even more negative and more anxious. Like, if I'm venting to you, I expect you to hopefully be positive and help me in some sort of way. But it's, again, we can go back to surrounding yourself with these types of people in the first place. Once you notice that somebody might be a negative person, honestly, deflect and detach yourself from that person, or at least now in the back of your mind, you're self-aware, you're not going to be complaining to this person again, because you realize you end up feeling worse after you leave them. So I think keeping that in the back of your mind and being very self-aware, I don't expect you to be self-aware throughout the entire day where you're like micromanaging and micro-assessing every single thing that you see. But at least if you really think about it, surround yourself with as many possible positive people as much as you can. And I promise...
And positive, realistic people, not positive people who are just like, oh, everything's going to be okay. This is all good. Everything's good.
And everything is like just burning in flames or something.
Yeah, like it has to be realistic. Like you need to know how to deal with it in a positive manner. And just know that there are things that are not going to go your way, but you just have to look at it from a different perspective.
Yeah. And then changing my intentions as well. I think that's my last one. To change my intentions and constantly keep myself in check when it comes to my intentions, where I'm like, I'm renewing my intentions. Why am I doing this? Who am I doing this for? And kind of having that constantly being refreshed in my brain. And once you have that thought, you automatically think positively anyway, because you know that Allah got you and you're doing this for the sake of Him. So obviously at the end of the day, you will end up saying, you know what? Allah has my back anyway, and I think I'm okay. I think I'm going to be fine. So my first one is to be relaxed, or take things day by day. The other one is be positive. Yeah. Be positive. And the last one is think of my intentions and constantly keep them in check. Or at least renewing my intentions. And this goes for every single thing that I do in my life. Not just teaching this year. But it's just the renewing my intentions. If I haven't asked about my friend in a minute, what I'm going to do is I'm going to make sure I reach out. And like get in contact with people I have been neglecting for however long I've been neglecting them. And renew my intentions. You're doing this for Allah. And you never expect anything in return. So once you officially keep that in the back of your mind, you don't think about anybody or anything. You're doing things for his sake. So you end up feeling very, very, very happy in the end. And you're not expecting anything in return. So it feels fulfilled regardless. It's like Allah got you. And you don't expect any physical materials or anything really from anybody. So I think that's really my part. How about you, Hafsa? What are your goals?
I think you just hit everything spot on.
I know. But do you have any particular goals for yourself this year?
I feel like... since it's my first year also being in my field and mm-hmm. like in that environment and having like my own classroom and my own space, I just want to take it in and not rush into things mm-hmm. and not be like, I need to be rational with when I'm making my decisions, especially with that, because I'm also in the place I'm in, I'm also building this program for my ANL students for the future. So mm-hmm. being the borderline and the startup for this the
foundation.
Yeah. I think it just puts a little pressure,
mm-hmm.
but also I think I need to like sit down and actually know where everything goes just in case I end up not staying there. The next person who's coming isn't doing work for like 10 people.
Yeah.
They're just doing their job and building on that. So I think that's my goal for this year is making sure this works out perfectly where we're doing the best and we're setting our students up for success. That's mm-hmm. kind of our, like, our motto in the school.
Yeah.
Setting up our students for success. So I'm kind of just going but with also, the flow with that.
I think I'm just going to just let you stop there for a second. But also don't compare yourself to anybody. I think in the education field, I've noticed that, I don't want to say it's toxic, but in the sense everybody is comparing themselves to somebody else's chapter, for example. And it's so it's actually really annoying because I could be teaching for my fifth year, but it's only my second year in fifth grade. And I've been doing pre-K for 4 years. So I'm like, okay, if I know my stuff in pre-K, I don't know my stuff in, what's it called? I don't know my stuff in fifth grade. So it's really interesting to see that people put you on this pedestal. I'm like, please don't look at me as your role model. And if you do, I promise you, we all don't know what we're doing. And if we do know what we're doing, we're not perfection. We're not perfectionists. We're not like perfect at what we do. And don't hold me up on this like high standard where I'm not allowed to make mistakes. Or wait, are you dumb? Like, how the hell did you not know how to do this? And this is your fifth year doing it. No, we're all learning something new every day. So
yeah, and I think not having someone in my same field in the same school, it's kind of a little hard because you're seeing everyone who's experienced, who's doing everything and they have everything. Also being, so I was enrolled kind of late.
Yeah.
So if they already started their classes are set up, they already know what they're doing. They have the lesson plans. Everything is planned out so perfectly that they're just walking into the classroom and kind of teaching.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh snap, I'm missing out. I'm like a little behind. So mm-hmm. I want to like, how are you putting 5 weeks of work in 1 week?
Yeah,
and it's
true.
Like your first week. So it's a lot, but it takes time.
Yeah.
So I think I'm just going to take it easy and just making sure I'm doing everything. Everything I wouldn't say
right.
correct, but like realistic. We need to be realistic when
you
it comes to
You need to be realistic
this.
And everybody has their own timeline. Everybody's on a different chapter. So that's totally fine. And I think when you accept that, you automatically...
And you know your limits.
Yeah.
So don't take something that you know... you can't handle.
Yeah.
As much as you want to do everything and you want to be that person that gets everything done,
mm-hmm.
don't put that much pressure on yourself.
And if you do, it's okay if you take longer than other people who've done it faster than you. That's totally fine. Like, if you can take on the challenge, go right ahead and take on the challenge. But at least know that if somebody did it in whatever timeline that they did it in, somebody else can do it in a longer timeline. And guess what? That's completely fine as well. So, to conclude this episode, these are our goals for this school year, inshallah. We hope to see you again in our next episode with more goals and just another update of what we're doing in our classrooms and kind of in our lives. I hope everyone has a great day. Peace.
Salam.
Salam.